You have the present, you have the past. The past has its past, okay? The present has its future, the past has its future, namely the present. They learn that we had a past, a past future. They learn the relationship between them, but they don't extrapolate the relation between today's past and today's future.
All right, raise your hand if you followed what Nassim Nicholas Taleb just said. Yeah, me too. But I do know this. For Freakonomics Radio, the future is now.
From WNYC and American Public Media, this is Freakonomics Radio, a new podcast about the hidden side of everything. Here's your host, Stephen Dubner.
In the beginning, it was just me, a microphone, and my Freakonomics friend and co-author Steve Levitt. We started a podcast, threw it up on iTunes. We didn't think anybody actually listened to it, but they did. They even wrote reviews. Last week, Levitt and I, we made the mistake of reading them.
This is one of the good ones. If you're going to start a new podcast, BBrian6332 says, please at least have some episodes lined up. The podcast has potential. That's what I mean by this one of the good ones. However, 20 days between shows is a really poor start. Come on, guys. If you're serious, then do it. Hypoluxa writes, this is the top podcast on iTunes? I was incredibly disappointed. I don't know what podcast the other reviewers were listening to, but this was terrible. Talk about beating a dead horse. Ugh.
Could have been worse.
I like this one here. More of Levitt, less of Dubner.
I'm afraid you're getting more Dubner, whether you like it or not. Here's how it works. For now, we'll put out a new podcast every 2 weeks. In January, we'll go weekly. You can get it at iTunes, at our new website, freakonomicsradio.com, and wherever fine podcasts are sold. But wait, there's more. Yeah, every couple weeks, we'll bring a Freakonomics story to Marketplace, the afternoon business show on your local public radio station. You know, hosted by that guy with the strange name.
What is that?
So the really interesting thing is that I can't even tell you the number of times we have gotten listener mail with people saying either Guy, Gee, K. They don't like how I pronounce my own name. They don't know how to spell it. It's Norwegian, people. My dad was born in Bergen. Kai, K-A-I-R-Y-S-S-D-A-L. No middle name, thank you very much. Just Kai Rizdal.
So it's just a straight Norwegian name. No hybrid, no. If you were living in Norway, nobody'd raise a brow.
Nobody would, except for this. Usually over there, sometimes it's spelled with a K-A-J because they got the yeah thing going with the J's over there. But it's Scandinavian as far as it goes.
And if I ever have a hard time remembering or pronouncing, is it okay if I just call you Kevin or something? Is that all right with you?
Listen, Dubner, whatever you want.
Once I learn the ropes, we'll start making some hour-long shows. You'll hear them on public radio stations, too. As long as the public radio officials we bribed keep their word. And then we're going on the road, live events with more surprises than you can imagine. In other words, we really have no idea yet what we're going to do. But whatever form Freakonomics Radio takes, we'll bring you the stories that everyone else on the radio has the good sense to avoid. For instance, the economics of trash. Here's a guy named Jonathan Forma, a grad student from Michigan, just moved to Taiwan.
Well, I can tell you that when I arrived here in the dormitory, I was given a list of rules. And one of them was, when you hear the trash truck come, take your trash out the door.
When you hear the trash truck come, bring your trash out the door. So it comes around like an ice cream truck or something?
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is one of the funny things. It actually plays Beethoven music.
Oh, that's nice.
Blares it, in fact. And so when you hear it coming, your first thought is the ice cream truck is coming, but in fact it is, you know, smelly garbage that is coming down your street.
But basically you're in your room, you're working or you're getting ready for going to school or whatever, and then you hear dun 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 dun, and you think, trash. I got to get my trash, run out. Is that the way it works?
That is exactly the way it works. For the first 10 days, I didn't hear it one time. I was told it comes roughly, in our area, it comes in the afternoon and the evening, supposedly. Although, for the first 10 days, I was literally out every single day. I mean, I just arrived in a new city. I wanted to travel around a little bit. And so, you know, the result of all of that was about 10 days worth of trash in my room.
10 days worth of trash in your room because you were not home when the trash truck came, right?
Exactly. I couldn't bring myself to tell my friends, no, I won't go out to eat with you because I'm waiting for the trash truck. I couldn't do it.
What do the locals think about this trash collection system where you have to wait to hear the trash truck come and bring your trash out to it?
You know, I asked a couple of my friends about this, and they said that they think it's like people like going out and talking to each other while they're waiting for the trash truck. I've seen this where there'll be people, you know, 20, 25 people gathering on a corner and when the trash truck coming in the distance.
Oh.
And I've also heard that guys sometimes go there and try to find pretty girls.
Oh, so you're giving trash a whole new spin here. You're talking trash is like a babe magnet and trash is a community builder, right?
You know, if you talk with your neighbors a lot, I suspect it's just as easy that you could get into an argument as it is to you know, have you know, delightful chatter. But they say that they like it. And you dress in nice clothes sometimes. You go out there, you talk to your neighbors, you put your trash in together. It does sound nice.
But what you're describing is it's like, you know, I'm living in this neighborhood in Taipei in a residential area, and I'm a young, single guy. And it's like, hey, it's trash time. I'm going to put on my best shirt and try to go meet a girl, right? That's
you know,
what you're talking about?
Reduced, yeah, I haven't been reduced yet to going to the trash truck to find girls. So maybe one day.
Maybe one day. You'll hear about trash and some slightly less trashy things, too. Slightly, like the upcoming elections. We'll take a look at the myths of campaign spending in November's past, present, and future. Here's a voice you might recognize.
We thought we were going to raise $100 million. So we built a campaign for $100 million. But we were spending the money as if we were a $100 million campaign before we raised $100 million. So even though we raised $57 million, which was a huge amount of money, we were out of money. Right? And what we should have anticipated better was that we're not going to raise $100 million. So campaign spending doesn't mean anything because you can spend it incorrectly. I have lost an election by spending it wrong, that one. I won an election, my first election that I won when I was outspent $16 million to $2 million. In a Republican primary, and I could have probably not spent any money and won, and we won like 70-30.
Yep, that's Rudy Giuliani, former New York City mayor, who ran for president once, might even do it again. He, of course, ran as a crime stopper, and he did it without the benefit of a vuvuzela. Here's Mampela Rampele, a longtime civil rights activist in South Africa who, like a lot of people there, was worried the recent World Cup would bring a spike in crime. It didn't happen.
I think it is true that the level of crime came down and those who did commit crimes were quickly nabbed. So crime didn't pay during the World Cup. But importantly, the source of crime, in my view, is that age group full of energy. And many of them full of testosterone, if I may say so. They were busy blowing their vuvuzelas, running around, going to fan parks. That's something to do. South Africa has neglected providing sporting facilities. Many poor communities don't have a soccer pitch. They don't have a basketball pitch. They don't have simple places where children can go and be children. And that's really a big takeaway we should remember from the World Cup.
Take a listen to another voice you'll be hearing this fall. This one's harder to recognize than Giuliani's, but if you've been following the news lately, you can maybe figure it out.
Well, we're fundamentally trying to change the business we're in, and we're trying to drive innovation rather than being this compliance, you know, driven bureaucracy. And the idea of crowdsourcing that you're seeing in other industries, we think is absolutely applicable here. And frankly, I think there are very significant lessons for how government can work going forward. If we're serious about challenging the status quo, if we're serious about getting dramatically better, we can't just keep doing the same thing. And I think this idea of rewarding excellence and helping states learn from each other, but challenging them to go to a different level. I think there are very significant lessons beyond the Department of Education.
The Department of Education was your big clue. That's Arne Duncan, who used to run the Chicago Public Schools and now runs all of them. We'll talk to him about the Race to the Top program that has different states competing against one another to come up with the best school reforms. That show will plainly be educational, so educational, in fact, that Duncan gave us our first official endorsement.
Hi, I'm Arne Duncan, Secretary of Education in the United States, and you're listening to Freakonomics Radio.
Education, crime, campaign spending, trash. That's what you're in for with Freakonomics Radio. Even a little bit of practical philosophy, thanks to our friend Nassim Taleb, author of The Black Swan and Fooled by Randomness.
Skepticism is something you should handle with care. There is a thin line between pure gullibility, and I was a tar sucker, and pure skepticism. You can't get out of bed, and you have to figure out to navigate it. And I'm spending 100% of my time, okay, working out the map of where you should be skeptical, where you should be, where you could be a sucker, not a sucker.
Remember these words. Freakonomics Radio, helping skeptics get out of bed since February 2010. Thanks for listening.
Freakonomics Radio is a new part of Marketplace, a podcast, a public radio special, and more. It's a new co-production of WNYC, American Public Media, and Dubner Productions. Learn more and listen more online at freakonomicsradio.com.